Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome once again to the Living Word. I'm Pastor Mensah Otterville. We are doing our message, Marriage 101, and this is the last but one in the series. And I trust that you've been blessed. I believe that God has spoken to you. Because, you know, what I've tried to do in this series is to teach the fundamentals of marriage. We haven't touched so many other areas of marriage. We'll be dealing with them later on. But at this level, we need to get the fundamentals right. The purpose is for sharing, for support, and for honor. To bind all that together is for us to attain agreement. We have to learn to agree. And the way to agree is to understand each other. If we don't do these things, we cannot agree. So that's what I've tried to do, and I trust that as you open your heart today to what we have to say today, God will continue to speak to you right after this.
And now, today's message.
I'm continuing what I started on unity and agreement. And I want us to go back to the Word of God, to Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 to 20. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they shall ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Note the verse 20 very carefully. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Unity and agreement in marriage. And turn again to Amos chapter 3, verse number 3. Amos chapter 3, verse number 3. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two people marry unless they agree? The answer obviously is no. If two people are going to walk together, they must have agreement. And Jesus said that whenever people are in agreement, they have power. And the power to bind and the power to loose. To bind is to prevent something from happening. To loose is to permit or allow something to happen. There are things God wants us to prevent from happening, and there are things that God wants us to permit to happen. When two people are agreed, they can decide to make their home a place of joy, or they can also decide to make their home a place of chaos. The power of binding and the power of losing is found in agreement. And the verse 20 is very instructive. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Some people say this is the quorum for church. For a church to be a church, there must be two or three. Minimum. For there to be church. So, in that sense, the home, the marital home, is church. Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, when two believers, born again Christians, come together in marriage, they are creating a dwelling place for God.
And when they stay in agreement, God's presence is there. And Jesus says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Can you imagine the kind of things God has been seeing in your house? Because he says he's there. You can't come to church and worship God and go home and play naughty things, do naughty things, beat your wife, curse your wife, insult your husband, slap somebody. You can't do that because the Lord says he's in the midst of them, of you. How many of you are going to go to the presence of God and say, Lord, I just feel like beating my wife this evening. And I want you to watch whilst I do it. If God is in the midst of you, what do you want him to do now that he's in the midst of you? Do you want him to observe your naughtiness or you want him to bless your faithfulness? In marriage, we invite God's presence, especially when it is two believers who have come together. Let's look again at the passage we looked at in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And I want you to focus or underline the word own, your own husband, not somebody else's husband. Tell the person next to you, get your own. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if, in an extreme case, if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be warned by the conduct of their wives. God is saying here simply that the way a wife conducts herself can win even an unbeliever to the Lord. If the way a wife conducts herself can win an unbeliever to the Lord, then the wife can win more a believer to the Lord, isn't it? So there is something a wife can do to make her marriage better. A wife can do something to make her marriage better. When they observe your chaste conduct coupled, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. And I want you to note that last part. If you do good and are not afraid with any terror. God does not want the woman to be terrorized into doing good. God does not want a husband to frighten the wife into obeying him. Screaming on him, terrifying her, shouting on her, beating her into submission. That's not what God is talking about. And some of us believe, especially some African men, have grown with the understanding that if your wife is not submissive, you have to discipline her so she will shut up and respect you. She may fear you. She may be terrified of you, but she will not respect you. Because you don't respect people who abuse you. You may be afraid of them, but you never respect them. You never respect somebody who insults you. Have you ever respected anyone who insulted you? Have you ever respected somebody who screamed on you? You may be afraid of them. They scream and say, hey, shut up, shut up. If you don't take that, I will boot you out of this place. And you became quiet, but you weren't respecting them. You were afraid. You didn't want them to do what they had threatened to do. So you kept quiet. But behind them, what did you do? You insult them. Even while they are screaming behind them, don't you do that? No, somebody is really terrifying you, but behind, whilst he's doing that, you are on his blind side, you make faces at him because you don't respect him. I'm going to tell every husband here, don't create terror in your house or in your home. Don't create terror. Don't create a situation where when you are not there, your wife goes behind you and make faces behind you. Or your wife and the children have funny nicknames for you. And when you come home and you start stamping your authority, they start taking looks at one another. They know he has come. Some people call their father, and some wives call their husbands tiger, lion. You know, and all kinds of things. And the moment you come home, signals are sent. And you think it is respect. But go and listen to the private conversation of your wife, and you would know you have no respect whatsoever. Is that what you want? I'm talking to men now. Is that what you want, for your wife to sit with her friends and be talking about you and talking about you so bad, insulting you, making funny jokes about you when they are talking to their friends about you when you are not there? The moment you come, they stand at attention. My Lord, Mura. Peter says, Sarah obeyed Abraham, but not with terror. Sarah did not call Abraham Lord because she was afraid of him. She said Lord as an endearment, as a word of endearment, like sweetheart, or honey, or darling, or dear, or something like that. I don't know what else you have in your vocabulary. Midoriasi. You know, that's what Sarah meant. When Sarah said, Lord, she didn't mean master that I'm afraid of. Because the Bible says, do that without terror. Are you called terror at home? Husbands, are you called terror at home? Do you know the way your children talk about you? Do you know your nickname? Some of you young men who are not husbands yet, you can always know what kind of a husband you will be by the way you treat women before you marry. The way you treat your own mother. The way you treat your sisters. The way you treat your female workers in the office. The way you treat other females around you. If you have no respect for them, then you would never have respect for your wife. Let me give you a good piece of advice, women. Before you marry a man, check out how he's been treating women before he met you. If somebody breaks from a relationship, a man just beat his girlfriend and separated from the girl and said, now his heart is for you. Take the heart and run away with the heart. Because the man who just beat his girlfriend has shown you who he is. He may start telling you the best story, but if he treated that woman bad, guaranteed, you will have it. You are not different. A man who does not respect women will not respect the wife. So if you, those of you who are eager to marry, somebody comes to you who is saying, I love you. You ask, have you been married before? Yes. What happened? We divorced. Fine. Go and check the conditions of the divorce. Oh yeah, it would be wise to talk to the ex-wife. Oh yeah, if you are a wise woman, go and talk to the former. Because she is a picture of your future. Go and talk to her. Probably they had mutual misunderstanding or something happened. But if you talk to that woman and she says, this man, I will leave him to you. But if you want my advice, I will tell you, this man, what he did to me, if any woman gives you that advice, let it sink into your head. Because she has gone on a journey you haven't been on. And she's telling you, this road, this is how it is. There are flowers at the entrance, but there are thorns as you move ahead. I will deal with divorce and remarriage in marriage 301. So I'm not going to touch on that now. I'm going to teach exclusively. I'm going to do an exhaustive teaching on divorce. Whether people can divorce, the basis under which they can divorce, whether people can remarry, how they have to remarry, I will deal with all that. But I'm just giving you an advice that a man who does not respect women will not respect you. Unfortunately, a lot of men have been trained not to respect women. Unfortunately, it's sad. Verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them meaning your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. God says we must dwell with our wife. And how are we supposed to do that? Three ways. The scripture says we must dwell with our own wives. One, it says, dwell with her. Everybody say, dwell. That means live with her. Don't live in America whilst your wife lives in Germany. Number two, he says, live with your wife according to knowledge. Everybody say, knowledge. Okay. We'll touch that very soon. And the third one, honor her. Everybody say, honor. That's how you dwell with a woman. Honor your wife, live with your wife according to knowledge, dwell with your wife. To dwell with means to live with, to remain with, to reside with, to dwell together. That simply means that you dwell with your wife exclusively. Not with your wife and another substitute. You must know no one else sexually except your wife. You must stay at home and dwell at home. Stay at home. Men, stay at home. That's what it means by dwell. Dwell means stay at home. You don't close from work, go to the house, shower, change your clothes, and then out. Your home is not a hotel. It's not a place of transition. It's a place of dwelling. You must love your home better than any location. You must love your home better than your office. Love your home better than the stadium. Love your home better than your friend's house. Love your home better than any other location. And that is why you must work hard to make your home a place you feel comfortable at. Because you must dwell there. You dwell there. You eat there. You sleep there. You play games there. You entertain yourself there. Your home is your home. When a man is uncomfortable in his own home, he sets the foundation for the breakdown of his marriage. You must make a home a comfortable place to dwell. The scripture says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So then there are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge. What kind of knowledge is God talking about? First, you must have knowledge of the marriage relationship. You must have knowledge of the marriage relationship. What marriage is, what it is to be, and what it is not. Two, you must have knowledge of your wife. And I'm talking to men now. Women, you can relax. We'll get to you later. You must dwell with knowledge of your wife, her nature, her emotional makeup, what she needs and wants emotionally and spiritually, her strengths and her weaknesses. You must have knowledge of these. You must have knowledge also of the Word of God, what God says about the husband and his duties. A husband must be a knowledgeable and understanding person. Women are very complex people. And that's why it takes care to understand women. Women are not like men. Men have very few problems. The problems of men are very, very few. Very easy to please a man. Very, very easy. But very difficult to please a woman. Because a woman's emotions goes through constant change. God created the woman in such a way that she is capable of carrying the next generation within her to deliver. For that to happen, the physical system of a woman was designed to be pregnant. For a woman to be pregnant, her body has to change to accommodate the next person who will stay with her. So women go through hormonal changes. Their hormones change. Once every month, they go through their monthly cycle. And in going through the monthly cycle, the hormones that create the chemical balances in their brains change. And they become a little bit more agitated at certain times of the month than other times. When they are pregnant, they go through major changes, not only because their stomachs grow bigger, but their whole emotions and their makeup undergoes changes. And anyone who has had a pregnant wife can tell you, you go through those changes with your wife also, if you are a wise man. Because when she is pregnant, there are things she used to like which she hates. And there are things she hates which she will begin to like. There are places she used to like, she wouldn't want to go there again. And so on and so forth. And all these changes take place. Their emotions go up and down. One moment they are happy, the next moment they are sad and very depressed. And they themselves don't understand what's going on. When you are married to a woman, and she goes through these changes, cyclical changes, it is very easy for her to annoy you. Because she is not constant. Men are constant. We don't change. It's only when we grow old that we change. But we don't normally change. But women start changing right from adolescence. from the time they reach puberty, they go through changes, they go through their monthly changes, they go through pregnancy changes. Then when they hit their 40s, they go through premenstrual changes, and those are major ones. And they go through all these changes, but the men are constant. No changes. That is why God says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Because if you don't have knowledge of what's going on with your wife, you will easily be annoyed with her. You can actually begin to think that she is not the right person for you. Do you know that most of the time as women grow older, they easily are called witches? Do you know that? Do you know that as women grow older, at a certain level, they even, because of these hormonal imbalances, they sometimes can confess to a crime they didn't commit? You see, all these things where people say, the old lady has confessed, she's a witch, she's confessed. We don't understand what's going on. It's not confession of witchcraft most of the time. Maybe 1% will be confession of witchcraft, but majority of it is chemical imbalance. It's acute depression. And as people get into acute depression, they begin to manifest these things. They begin to say things they haven't done. And then everybody jumps on them and say, they are witches. We have to dwell with them according to knowledge. Because if you don't, you're going to abuse them.
Well, God speaks to us in so many ways, and I believe that in this series He's speaking to us. And as I said right from the beginning, the foundations must be set right. We have to learn to agree. There is power in agreement, and we have to overcome our differences to agree. But God will speak to us, and He will guide us. The responsibility then is ours to go out, to reach out, and to implement His word. And I trust that in all that we have talked about, you don't take for granted what you have heard, because your peace, your joy, your satisfaction is in becoming a doer of God's word. I'll come to you again with the last part of this message, Marriage 101. I'm Pastor Mensah Otabel. Shalom, peace, and life to you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com. We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.